Welcome to the Hotel News Now podcast. I'm Associate Editor Trevor Simpson. Coming out of the pandemic, the Austin market was hot with interest. It consistently ranked among the top five best places to live and was ranked the most attractive market for investment just 3 years ago. But that momentum has started to wane a bit. This past year, it was ranked 13th in U.S. News & World Report's annual Best Places to Live rankings and was ranked 10th in regard to most attractive markets for investment. This past March, RevPAR was down 5.6% year-to-date, occupancy was down 3.6% year-to-date, and ADR was down 2.1% in the market. This could be a side effect of its rising success, though, as inventory growth has been strong over the past 3 years in the market. I'll welcome in now Parimal Rohit, who covers the Austin, Houston, and San Antonio markets for CoStar News, and Colin Sherman, Director of Hospitality Market Analytics for Texas and Nashville. How are you guys?
Good. Thanks for having us.
No problem, guys. So to start off with, let's just talk big picture. We can start with you, Parimal. Big picture, what's going on in Austin right now?
You know, it's been a, if I could use the phrase, roller coaster of a ride, because it truly has been. So just for quick context to my answer, I actually moved here in 2020. So I was in town at the height of Austin being the market to be in. In the 4 years since, downtown Austin has added at least 15 high-rise buildings by my casual count. So that's a little testament to the growth that we've had in the past 4 years. Hit a peak around 2022, early 2023. We saw real estate values, home prices reach all-time highs here. And I guess in the year and a half since, we've seen some of that hype or that acceleration come down a bit. It's been visible. South by Southwest this year was slightly quieter. You could see there's less foot traffic this year than it was last year. So we're even seeing some spillover effect in the signature events here in town. So we are seeing that upward trajectory flatten, come down. We're not going up anymore, but it's still, if you still talk to people around town, there's still belief in the city still coming out of it, you know, in decent shape. So, you know, a year or two from now, we could see a whole different Austin. But right now it's more like, you know, we've slowed down, people are still coming. It just isn't as exciting or as hyped as it was 4 years ago. Sure. I guess that's the best way to say it. Yeah.
Yeah. Colin, what are you seeing in the numbers?
I'm going to be nice because I know Austinites are not accustomed to negative press. No, it's to exactly what Parimal said. We expected the softening. This isn't new. This isn't just unique to Austin. It's going in Austin as it is in the rest of the nation. We're seeing just a slowdown due to the larger economic factors that we all knew were going to happen. We have a slowdown of economic growth. We're seeing less investment. We're seeing investments being withheld just because of the tighter lending standards due to higher interest rates. And all that comes down the line to Austin as well, as hot as the market as it is. I think too that the supply side of things has really affected Austin's performance, particularly with occupancy. We're now starting to feel again those effects that started in 2020 and have continued at a pretty good pace of growth all the way up until this year. And we're still seeing it. I mean, Austin currently has about 1,800 rooms under construction and over 5,000 rooms in final planning. So I think that is also maybe a future problem that is going to continue a little bit slower growth or slower times for the city, particularly on the hotel side, because we are seeing pretty good increase of supply coming in. And I think as investors get used to the new standard of lending, they might go ahead with those projects, and you're going to start seeing those rooms come online along with if they do lower interest rates. That's going to be a frenzy. That's also going to add a lot to that supply side and really kind of slow everything down a little bit.
Sure.
Colin, can I jump in? Well, Colin, may I jump in with a quick question? Because I'm going to give you this is more of an anecdotal question, but especially in South By, which finished what a month ago, you know, the biggest complaint I heard was hotel prices in Austin are extremely high and higher than in years past. So I don't know if you've noticed in your research, has hotel room, I guess, per night average, has that went up in a lot in recent years? And how is it compared to other cities? I don't know if you've noticed anything on that front.
Yeah, it's fairly significant. It's about at the same rate as Nashville. Mm-hmm. You do see, I would say, I don't want to make that call because I like having my numbers in front of me. But they're significantly higher, particularly when you're looking at the CBD and that level of class too. So your luxuries, mm-hmm. your upper upscales, those prices are much larger. But you're starting to see that come down. I think ADR. I think year to date right now is somewhere around 3%. So that declined quite a bit. And I think that's from the downward pressure of slower demand. And that might have something to do with it, is they see that customers see those prices and they're a little bit more selective in how they travel.
All right.
So with that demand sort of sliding a little bit, how can the city turn that around and get back that demand?
Getting back to that demand, I don't know, Pervel, do you have any? I mean, you're there. You see it all the time. You see what the city's doing.
Yeah, I think part of it is what is the narrative of Austin? And in years past, you know, if you go back, you know, 20 years ago, it was Austin's a college town and it's the state capital. So it's either you're coming here to go to school or you're coming here to work for the government. You know, and of course, in the 20 years since, it's the narrative become now expanded to like, it's a college town, it's a government town, but it's also now a tech town, and it's also a bachelorette party town. and I'm just wondering, like, this is a weird way to answer the question, I guess, but the city needs to find a very specific identity that we had an identity for a long time that just was, like I said, a college town, government town. And I still think Austin is kind of finding itself now. Like, it grew so much so fast that, you know, there's now like 2 million people in the metro, which is a lot for what the city's used to. And so I think there's a lot of like, well, who are we as a town? And, you know, we now finally have a professional sports team here in Austin FC. That team has helped develop some identity here, but I think people need to know what Austin's all about. And once Austin like knows that this is more than just a town to come to school, or it's more than just South by Southwest, you know, that there are things here that attract people here year round. You know, that's what the big cities like LA and New York and Chicago all have, right? They have things that attract people there all year round, and they have a specific identity that people know what they're getting when they're getting there. And I think the past 5 years, Austin's proved that it's still growing. It's going through growing pains. It doesn't know quite what it is anymore. And I'm not saying that's a negative. It's just that's just a byproduct of the crazy growth that's happened here in 5 years. And, you know, we went from like a mid city to all of a sudden top 10 metro in the country, or top 10 city proper in the country. That's a lot to take in. Once the dust settles in the city and people know like, okay, I'm going to Austin for this. I'm going for X, Y, Z. That will help restore some of that demand and maybe restore some of those, you know, reasonable hotel room prices that seem to be out of control right now.
I completely agree with you. I think Austin is going through a new evolution, right? So it used to be honky tonks and hippies, and that, mm-hmm. then it became college town and government. And now with the corporate side of things, it's kind of this high end corporate environment, still with the same elements that it was built on. Mm-hmm. So I think right now they are going through that kind of evolution, just how you said, is like, okay, you know, are we going to be this luxury class hotel product? Do we have the demand? Obviously the supply is there. I think that's kind of the running joke right now. But do we have that demand? Is that sustainable? And I think with that corporate environment, they're betting that it is. With all the new corporations that are moving in there, the corporate travel, I mean, just to kind of segue, that convention center, the new convention center that's coming, when is it? It's commissioned to start construction in, what, 2025?
Something like that, right?
Yeah. I know that South by Southwest is going to have their convention there one more time in 2025. And I think that's the last convention or group that's going to go through there. So that has been, that's also going to be pushing the boundaries of where Austin's going next, in my opinion, at least one of the few main things that's happening there.
And let me ask you this, and I'm asking this with the exact purpose of proving the point we're talking about here. So question for both of you. When you both think of South by Southwest, what do you guys think? Like, what, if you give me one word, what is it? What is South by?
Trevor?
I
can take it. Yeah.
Go for it, Colin.
I think tech and film.
Right. And so one could say it used to be a music festival that's now become a tech and film festival. Right. But what's interesting is, and this is something I noticed this year, and I think this is why I think foot traffic was, you know, anecdotally less than it was in years past or last year, is this year felt very corporate, whereas years past it felt very user friendly. It used to be you come for the tech conference, the film conference, the music conference, and it was like, all right, it's, I get to see something here as a fan, right? It's like Comic-Con. But now, I mean, every seminar I attended was a corporate sponsor attached to it, right? Mm-hmm. So it felt very corporate this year. And it, I guess it goes to your point, Colin, of like, you know, what is Austin becoming? Is it becoming this luxury destination of corporate travel and business travel? And, you know, the thought leadership is more on how can we make the corporate America even bigger, instead of focusing more on the hippie or the transient part of Austin, which used to dominate the city, right? So I think that's a watershed, you know, event right there to give you of the transition of where Austin used to be and where it's headed.
I kind of knew that there was film involved in it, but I was a little scared that I was going to jump in and say the wrong thing. So I sort of waited until Colin took it.
No. But that's Trevor. That's exactly the point though, right? It's like the changing identity of South by, of like, what is it now? It's a harder question to answer than, I mean, I think you hit on the head. It's like, it's not an easy answer of like, well, is it film? Is it music? Is it tech? What is it now?
Right.
I think that's kind of the point.
Yeah. I think on the group side of things, it's a very corporate driven group demand. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the transient demand, I, as being a transient, I tend to think it still has that live music capital city vibe. You know, I think of the concerts, I think of the events. Now I think of soccer and F1, you know, and then also being in San Antonio or based in San Antonio, covering Austin, I now think Spurs, because, you know, that's also been a major, I guess, change to the Austin scene, is hosting, I think now five Spurs games at their new Moody Center.
Right.
Although that has to be a lift, or at least
next year. Next year's going to be a change, though. I don't know if you heard about that. They're going to play two or three games in Paris next year. So they're trading Austin for Paris next year.
Well, I'm not so much worried about Paris stealing the Spurs, but Austin scares the heck out of me.
Well, I guess that's actually a fair point to bring up, Trevor or Colin, because, you know, speaking of the Spurs, and I think the one thing that Austin is known for in the sports world is this city will not pay for a stadium. Like, if there is a voter initiative to say, hey, can we use some tax money to pay for a new stadium for any sport, the city has emphatically... If you talk to anybody in Austin, they will all say, you know what? We will not use our tax dollars to fund a stadium. If you want to bring a sports team here, you better bring your own private dollars. And so if the Spurs ownership does want to build a stadium here, it won't be Moody, because Moody's not big enough. But so if there is to be a basketball stadium to be built here for the Spurs, it'll have to be privately funded. So we're talking a $1 billion stadium. Is there an owner who's willing to take the risk to do that? I don't know.
Sure.
So that's one thing I guess, if it could ease the concerns of people in San Antonio, I don't think they're going to spend $2 billion to build a stadium 70 miles away.
Yeah.
You never say never.
Never know. Never say never, but yeah.
But I will, that does add to another kind of piece of this pie, is that there is a budding sports market. So when you talk about that question a few minutes ago, what's going to bring demand back? I think the budding sports market. I think Austin is ready force part. You're seeing it with the Austin FC and selling out those games, again with the Moody Center and the Spurs playing a few games up there. But then also, you already had this kind of built-in sports market with UT, you know, and all of that. So it's, and now they're part of the SEC. That's going to be another interesting driving factor, driving demand.
Right. I was actually talking about this over the weekend because I went to the Austin FC versus LA Galaxy fan, and I'm an LA Galaxy fan, so I had to go support my team. Galaxy lost 2-0, but I made an observation of, like, you look at the Austin sports fan, and it's actually very interesting. And this, again, goes to identity and demand. You could actually extrapolate from this that the average Austin fan, if you follow, let's just say, all five major sports, that's NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, Major League Soccer, and National Hockey League, right? You follow those five sports. You're a smorgasbord of teams. Like, you're Austin FC, you're Houston Astros, San Antonio Spurs, maybe the Texans, maybe the Cowboys, maybe the Dallas Stars. You're all over the place when it comes to who you're rooting for, right? But the sports fans are here. They definitely exist here. But you don't really have, outside of Austin FC, you don't have a city loyalty.
Very true. That's a good point.
But you would if the teams existed here.
Right.
Right. So you put it a basketball, you put an NBA team here, you put it an NFL team here. People in the city will root for those teams and will also bring in those tourists. Right. Mm-hmm. I went to Vegas last year for a Patriots versus Raiders game in December. Half the stadium was filled with Patriots fans because those fans would rather be in Vegas in December than in New England in December. You can say the same for Austin. And that, again, that goes to demand. You put the right product here, people will come.
Completely agree.
And speaking about sports, one of you guys mentioned F1 a little earlier. When I wrote about Las Vegas' first F1 race back in November, a source told me that demand was down in Austin because of the Vegas race. How do you think Austin will fight for some of that demand back moving forward now that Las Vegas is a major player in F1?
That's a tough question.
I think the F1 will remain the race that it was, maybe not when Vegas entered the scene, but what it has been in the past. I think Vegas took a bit away from the Austin race, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I think it's because it was new. I think it was, oh, now we have another option. And because it's Vegas, you know, hey, I'm going to use this word, selective. I'm going to select Vegas this year and then over Austin if I have the choice. But I think that newness is going to wear off. We're going to see now our three major F1 races, you know, Miami, Austin, and now Vegas. And I think it's going to, I think it'll attract the same amount of the same people that it did the year before, yeah.
I'll compliment you a little bit on that and add to it. I think you're right. The newness was definitely a major factor. I think also the timing. I mean, I think Austin and Vegas were only like 5 or 6 weeks apart. Mm-hmm. So I think the newness plus the timing last year was definitely a factor. But I think if you look at it, like you know, we just listed the three places. It's Vegas, it's Austin, it's Miami. Geographically, those are three different segments of the country. And I think once Vegas develops its own identity, speaking of that word, you're going to have Vegas become the de facto West Coast home of the race, mm-hmm. Austin being the de facto Middle America home of the race, and Miami being the East Coast home of the race. So I think that's what's going to have that, how that's going to evolve. And I guess, Trevor, to answer your question of that's how Austin will get its you know, its audience back. It has to develop, like, you know, for everybody between Nevada and the Eastern Seaboard, you know, that whole chunk of Middle America, mm-hmm. you're all going to come here to watch the race. You're not going to Vegas. You're not going to Miami. You're coming to Austin. And I think if Austin could own that part of the population, they'll be fine.
Yeah. And geographically, I mean, the Austin track is centralized, you know, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. Vegas, good Lord, you've got a million places to go. But at least in Austin, you'll get two shows. You'll get the celebrity fashion show, and then you'll get the race all in one place, right?
100%.
So you guys both cover several Texas markets. How is Austin trending compared to other major markets like Houston, Dallas, and San Antonio?
I could speak to anecdotally, then maybe Colin, if you have any data to back it up. But I think to start with saying Austin has always been viewed as kind of like the up and coming newbie, right. Because it's the, again, I know Austin, people also are not going to like me saying this, but it's the new kid on the block. It's the baby, right? It's the upstart that thinks it could. And so, you know, Dallas and Houston specifically are way ahead in terms of larger economy, more established economy, more established population. You know what you're getting when you go to those cities. San Antonio, even though it's, I would call it like its own internal insular market, it still is a large market that knows what, you know what you're getting when you go there. It's got a long history. It's got a culture. And Austin's still trying to figure all that stuff out, right? So comparatively speaking, Austin might be the hot new shiny object that's, you know, showing itself in the market. But it has a long way to go to catch up with San Antonio and Houston and Dallas in terms of being established. When I go to Dallas, when I go to Houston, I know exactly where to look for a good place to stay for a hotel. I know exactly where to go to get good food. I know where all the sports events are happening. I know where all the nightlife's happening. All that stuff is like established. And, you know, Austin, it's still evolving. Like, as I said earlier, like there's places where, like, yes, F1 is a known entity. Yes, South By is a known entity. But those aside, like, there's always a new restaurant popping up. Like, oh, that's a part of town I would have never thought to go of. And it's still learning itself comparatively. I mean, even though it's got its own insular identity, just compared to like the other cities, it's trailing in my head. And it's got a few years before we catch up. And I'm not saying it's a negative. That's just where we are.
Yeah.
I like that insight. Yeah, compared to the other major markets, I think you summed it up perfectly, Piramal. It really San Antonio has its own identity. Dallas has its own identity. Houston has its own identity. Austin is just cool, right? You know, and yeah. with that kind of tech backing, I think that's what's really attractive to it. But Houston, I mean, when I look at Houston, I know Houston's driven by group. I mean, this year alone, Houston's done amazing with conventions and conferences. Mm-hmm. Dallas has been the same way. When you look at Dallas and you say, okay, well, that's not only group, but that's also the transient side of the business sector that's flying in for corporate meetings or whatever. So you have those two major monsters, and then you have, and I'm probably going to take some flack for this too, but then you have Austin, San Antonio, which are a little bit more drive to markets. When you look at Dallas and Houston, I think a lot of the differences is they're easy to get to, the ease of travel to fly there directly from anywhere in the country or internationally, and then be able to go to a conference center or go to a convention center is just relatively simple. San Antonio and Austin definitely take a little bit more doing, particularly now that when you look at those two, who's traveling on the group side, Austin, I'm very interested what's going to happen with the new convention center when they close that. And it's going to be out till 2028 or 2029 until the new one opens. Mm-hmm. I did hear, though, that, and I'll, because I don't want to say anything negative, I do hear that they have a really good committee of stakeholders that are going to deal with that, being hotels and other operations, to try and mitigate as much as they can the effects of that, which is great. I'm off on a tangent. But and then San Antonio is definitely a drive-to market. I think San Antonio, it depends on group. And we've seen a slowing of group travel to San Antonio and transient travel. And that's for other reasons. But I kind of, when I look at all the Texas market, the major Texas markets, I always group Houston, Dallas together. And then I look at Austin and San Antonio. For a long time, Austin was way ahead of San Antonio. And now that we're seeing just kind of the slowdown, they compare different, all, I mean, really each city compares differently. To Paramol's point, it's really the level of person who wants to travel there and what they, and the expectation there is. I'm probably ranting, but it's or going off on a tangent, but yeah, it's a level of expectation. I think with Austin and San Antonio, you're getting more of an experience, and with Houston and Dallas, you're getting a very ease of travel, knowing where you're going, what's going on, where the scene is, very established. So if I had to categorize it, I'd say experience over, I don't know, just big city. I don't know, lack of word. Yeah.
I will be driving to San Antonio this weekend for lunch, just for lunch, because I think on this Friday, so we're recording this in midweek, but in a couple days, there's a new Fatburger opening in on the west side of San Antonio. Now, I'm from California, and Fatburger is a big deal in California, and just how here in Texas we have it's Whataburger versus B. Terry's.
Oh yeah.
Well,
yeah.
In California, it's Fatburger versus In-N-Out.
Interesting.
I am the unpopular opinion. I have the really unpopular opinion that Fatburger is better than In-N-Out. And so Fatburger is expanding to Texas. I think there's one in the Dallas area already. And San Antonio is opening its first Fatburger this Friday. So I'll be spending Cinco de Mayo not at a bar, but at a Fatburger in San Antonio.
You're creating a lot of enemies with your takes here today.
I know. It's what I do. I'm a journalist. That's what I do.
Well, I'll side with you a little bit. I recently have comparing In-N-Out Burger to Whataburger. Mm-hmm. I'm on the In-N-Out side. You heard it here first.
I hope just the burger though, because In-N-Out fries, everyone could see, are pretty bad.
They're terrible, but the
burger yeah.
and the service, unbeatable.
Yeah, I will say, for I know this is becoming a California conversation now, but for the money, for a $5 burger, In-N-Out is pretty up there for the money.
I don't feel too bad because now Whataburger's owned by a Chicago firm. They're not even Texas anymore.
Yeah. See, and for those of you, and I don't, for anyone who's listening, can't see, Trevor's wearing a Toronto Blue Jays hat. Are there any good burger joints that are Toronto that are worth raving about?
That's not something that a guy like me would know. I get some flack in the newsroom here because when I go on trips, I like to collect, like if a city has a baseball team, I like to get a hat while I'm there. Mm-hmm. So I was in Toronto last year, got the Blue Jays hat, and I get some flack for not sticking by my teams. I'm a Mets fan. I'm going to let the podcast listeners know. But anyway, to wrap things up, guys, just final takeaways. What do you think the future holds for the Austin market?
I'll take this one. All positive. I tell everybody that asks, which, you know, few and far between, what do you think of Austin, or do you think it's a good bet? I think you can't take a bad bet in Austin. It's always changing. It's dynamic. You can look at all the numbers which way you want. It's pretty steady. It's consistent. It's new. It's got everything that you want. I mean, particularly if you're looking for something, and whatever that thing is, Austin has it. I can say that the forecast is at the current state, we're predicting slower growth. Of course, that's going to remain, but it's positive. We're at 1.2% for 2024, and then that bumps up to 3% in 2025 as far as RevPAR specifically. So you can see that it's still got room, and it's going to remain, in my opinion, around that lower level, but it's still better historically when you go down and look all the way back to like 2015, that growth is very, very good, very positive.
I will mostly, actually, I think more than mostly agree. Colin, I think you kind of hit the head in that Austin, despite the cycles, will always in the end come out ahead. Yes, we'll have our valleys, but the next peak will, in my opinion, will always be higher than the previous peak. So we'll have a peak valley, a higher peak valley. So I think in the end, Austin will, in the aggregate, be trending upwards. The other thing I will say, and I'll finish with this, is, and this is going back to everything I've been talking about, identity, and I don't mean identity politics, I mean literally the city's personality. The one thing that Austin has that a lot of cities don't have is youth. And I don't mean that literally, I mean that spiritually. Like, this city feels young, and I don't care how old you are. I'm 47 years old, and I feel like I'm 20. Like, the energy I have every time I'm in this city, I feel like I'm back in college again. And I think that applies to everybody here. And this is why I think Austin has a future, is because when you come here, you don't feel like you're slowed down by life. There's something about this city, this energy here, that makes people feel like they're actually like enjoying their life here. And that's something that's an intangible you can't find in a lot of cities, right? And I travel a lot, so I feel like I could chime in here, because I'm all over the United States all the time, and I see an energy here I don't see elsewhere. When I'm at the airport, when I'm at the local malls, I need at a local restaurant, like I'm having Sunday brunch, and the energy of the people that are there, regardless of age, they could be a group of 25-year-old, you know, women, or an old couple here that's in their 60s, or a group of 50-year-old guys over there, it doesn't matter. They're all having a great time. They all are acting as if like they're just young people at in a college place. And so I guess the college spirit of UT kind of permeates across the whole area still, even now. So that's how I'll kind of sum it up for you. Like, yes, the growth is there and it's supported by this youthful exuberance of a town.
Awesome.
Very well said.
Thank you.
Well, awesome, guys. Thank you so much for joining the podcast. I feel like this was a great conversation.
Thank you, Trevor, for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Don't give out my number. Just send it straight to the complaint department.
We gotta protect the con.
Hi, I'm Isaac Colazzo, Vice President of Analytics at STR.
Hi, and I'm Jan Fajtak, National Director for Hospitality Analytics for the CoStar Group. Tune in to our new show, Tell Me More, a Hospitality Data Podcast.
It's a podcast on the global hotel industry, its current trends, what we're thinking about, and where the industry's going.
And we like to have fun with the data, too. Find us on hotelnewsnow.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe today.
Thanks for listening. This podcast was recorded on April 30th, 2024, and edited by Trevor Simpson. Go to hotelnewsnow.com every day for the latest in hotel industry news.